Now, the Ministry of Justice in England and Wales is considering banning jail sentences of less than 6 months. Ministers argue that such sentences are less effective at tackling reoffending than community sentences would be. In fact, the Prisons Minister, Rory Stewart, told the Daily Telegraph that such sentences were long enough to damage you and not long enough to heal you. What do you think about that? 6 months. So if you were, your sentence, if what you had done, your offence, meant that you would be getting a jail term of less than 6 months, you wouldn't get that. You would get something instead. 030 30 80 55 55. On the line, we have commentators Emma Wolfe. Good morning to you, Emma.
Good morning.
And Breege Gadd, who formerly worked with the probation service here. Good morning to you, Breege.
Morning, Vinny.
We'll start with you, Breege. Some will think, well, you know, if you've offended, if you've done something that deserves prison time, then that is exactly what you should get.
Well, the question, the big question there, Vinny, is if it deserves prison time. And in this society and in most civilised societies, prison is reserved as, in a sense, the final punishment for people who have committed fairly serious offences or who are a danger to other people. If you start using prison for relatively minor offences, and there's loads of options that courts have which, you know, stop short of prison, then in a way you devalue prison, and it is something which should not be done lightly. Prison should be reserved for people who are a danger to society.
Emma Wolfe, could the move be seen as being soft on crime?
Well, I mean, I think certainly Rory Stewart is going to struggle to get this through the Conservative Party, the party of law and order. But really, I don't think that you tackle the problem of, you know, lower level, so-called lower level crime by downgrading the severity of sentences. Changing jail sentences into community service doesn't tackle the scourge of low level crime. And, you know, actually, burglaries and shoplifting, which is the majority of what these less than 6 month sentences are, they are not victimless crimes. They are extremely serious. And actually, I would argue you need to tackle that early offending quite severely in order to get to the root of the problem. It's not about randomly cutting the span of time. It's about what you do with people. And what Rory Stewart is saying is people are taken in to prison, put in prison in custodial centres. They meet up, you know, they end up hobnobbing with all sorts of other criminals, and it doesn't solve anything. Well, he's right. So therefore, we need to look at rehabilitation and education within prisons when people are sentenced.
The impact, Emma,
of putting them inside for 3 months and then letting them out and then reoffending.
The impact of a short sentence could be out of proportion to the actual crime you've committed.
Well, it could also be a short, sharp shock that is a real deterrent to further offending.
Breege?
Well, I would agree with Emma that very rarely, and maybe even sometimes for people who normally wouldn't, you know, be in the criminal justice system, prison is a big deterrent for the bulk of people. It doesn't work. I mean, the evidence in Britain, throughout Europe, anywhere where it's used, prison is necessary, but it doesn't do a good job at rehabilitating people. If you want to rehabilitate people, you've got to keep them in the community where they're going to live. You're going to have to teach them new skills, get them a job, get them somewhere settled to live. More and more these days, help them deal with their addiction. And it is almost impossible to expect prisons to do that, especially when someone is serving a very short time.
Okay, addiction aside, Breege, what about the time and effort that's put in to help people in the community that have not offended, that might need help to get a job, to maybe a form of rehabilitation themselves, but they have not broken the law?
Absolutely. I mean, anyone who needs help to lead a settled, valuable life, so to speak, should get that help.
But are they? And would this perhaps give someone that had broken the law more opportunities, more attention and support than someone that hadn't?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody needs the sort of help we're talking about. I mean, if you reduce the budget that you spend on good youth facility, on educational provision for people who are struggling at school, you will end up with more people coming in contact with the criminal justice system, Vinny. If you reduce the budget you spend on supporting people with emotional and mental health problems, then the courts will have to deal with that problem. You cannot cut public services and then find that, you know, you've a trouble-free society. There is a huge debt to be paid if you do that. And again, this is nothing new. This is, you know, we've been in this cycle before, and governments, even the Conservative government, have learnt that if you want good law and order, you've got to put good money into community-based services, as well as...
I'm worried that the message this sends out is that, you know, they are being soft on crime, therefore you lose that deterrent. And, you know, the real kind of driving impulse behind this is that the prisons were overcrowded and we're struggling to cope with growing numbers of prisoners. But that is not a good reason for not keeping those jail sentences for crime. It's criminality. We call it low-level offending or...
Yeah. Well, Emma, I would suggest that the good reason... on which to base is what you do in the criminal justice system is to look at what works elsewhere. And if you look at, for example, the Northern European countries, they have a comparatively lower crime rate, but they also have a much lower prison rate. And prison is used much less frequently than Britain.
But they have safer societies,
and that is because they put the money into preventative work and into good support
exactly.
people who
exactly.
fall by the wayside.
Preventative work and good education much earlier on, that's where it needs to
Absolutely.
Come in.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying that within prison, within the prison sentencing system, you can do rehabilitation and valuable education work. It isn't about making it about removing that deterrent. It's
what about the money element, Emma, you mentioned yourself? If things are so difficult in terms of trying to pay for the cost of putting someone in prison, is this not one way to look at it? The lower levels of offending crime, if the money's not there, something's got to be done.
Vinny, the costs of reoffending are far, far higher than nipping it in the bud early, getting people in, either educating them early so they're not committing crimes, but then also dealing with prison as property,
okay.
i.e. using prison as a rehabilitation.
Well, Breed, surely Emma has a point to an extent there that if you commit crime and you think, well, I might go to prison if I get caught and prosecuted for this, and then if you think, well, exact same crime, I'm not going to go to prison, surely there's more chance that you will then go and commit that crime.
Vinny, that would make sense if criminals or people before they committed offences sat and took rational, intelligent decisions about what they're going to do. Very often crime is, you know, it happens in an instance. It's not thought, certainly the implications of what's going to happen to you is not thought through before you do it. And that's one of the problems with what I would call, you know, the guys, the recidivists who are in and out of prison who aren't necessarily committing very serious crimes. Could I just make a point? I would not disagree with Emma at all that people who are sent to prison can be rehabilitated. They certainly, with good provision in prisons, can be re-educated. They can be taught new skills. They can be helped, you know, look at jobs when they go out. But that cannot be done in a short prison sentence. And I'm not suggesting we imprison people for a longer time for less serious offences, but prison should be used as a place of last resort. The prison population in Britain has doubled over the past 20 years, and crime has not. It hasn't impacted on crime.
Okay.
In fact, in many instances, violent crime, as we can see in some of the big cities in England at the moment, has increased.
Just before you go, Bridge, because you've got an insight into this that many of us wouldn't, but what is the impact on someone's life? Not just losing their freedom, but when they go into prison. Let's say if it is for a shorter, say, 12-month or so jail sentence. How does it change them?
Well, if they are lucky enough to have a job, they lose their job. It's very often, in some ways, it's with a very patient family, it can be the last straw, and they lose their family support. And in prison, the problem about prison, Vinny, is very often a lot of people end up in prison who can't manage independent lives in the community. And prisons, by their very nature, make you more dependent. You're fed, the lights are put out, etc., etc. So you actually become more dependent on the system, and you're less able to cope in the real community when you get out. But I mean, the big impact of prisons is more often on the harm it does the family and children than on the harm it does the man or woman themselves. And if you look at the people in prison, they are not the kind of tough career criminals who are making a lot of money. They're the sad, and sometimes, and more often now, they're even the ones who we would describe as mad with mental health problems.
Okay, Breach Gad and Emma Wolfe, thank you very much.